Hey, everybody, and welcome to this deep dive we are doing today. We're going to be taking a look at,
Oh, this is going to be good.
Jubilee and what that
So
means
especially for us.
for our faith, you know. And you might be surprised to know that we're actually living in a Jubilee year right now.
Crazy, right?
It is crazy.
It started this past October on Yom Kippur.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Big day of reflection and atonement
Yeah.
in the Jewish tradition,
And it stretches all
all the way to Rosh Hashanah next September.
Wow, so we got a whole
A
year,
whole year.
a jubilee.
A whole year, and it's actually the 70th Jubilee year in biblical history.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty awesome.
I did not know that. So we're going to unpack all of that, the hope, the freedom, the restoration that jubilee represents, and we're going to be looking at a sermon from Glenn Blakeney called The Power of Jubilee: A Divine Season of Restoration.
Great sermon.
So no matter what, 2024 threw your weight.
Oh yeah, it was a year.
It was a year. Let's just say that. Let's dive in and see what this special year might hold.
Let's do it.
I'm excited.
So to really get Jubilee, we have to go back to the Old Testament.
Okay.
Leviticus 25.
Rare.
That's where we find this concept laid out.
Okay, so what was Jubilee like back then in ancient Israel?
Okay, so picture this: every 50 years,
Okay.
there was like this societal reset button.
Wow.
Like slaves were set free, debts were wiped clean,
Right.
families returned to their ancestral lands. It
Wow.
was a radical system of fairness and new beginnings.
That's a giant reset button. That's a really powerful visual. It sounds pretty radical, especially for that time period.
Oh, it was radical. Jubilee was designed to prevent generational poverty,
Oh, wow.
to give everybody a fair chance. It was even about letting the land itself rest and recover.
I'm already getting this sense of relief and hope just hearing you describe it. This idea of a fresh start, of things being made right.
It's power.
It's powerful, and it's really resonating with me, especially after the year we've all had.
Yeah, for sure.
So this ancient practice wasn't just a historical curiosity.
No.
It points forward to something much bigger.
Much, much bigger.
Okay. I am intrigued. Tell me more.
Okay, so when Jesus began his ministry,
Okay.
he read from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. It was a proclamation of freedom and healing.
Okay.
And he was basically saying, this is who I am. This is what I've come to do.
So he was declaring himself as the fulfillment of Jubilee. Wow, that sends chills down my spine.
I know, right?
Like all those old traditions, all that yearning for freedom and restoration suddenly pointed to Jesus.
Exactly. Jesus took this concept and
Yeah.
brought it to a whole new level.
Wow.
It's not just about physical freedom or material possessions anymore. It's about something much deeper.
This is what I love about exploring scripture like this. It's like peeling back layers of meaning and discovering these incredible connections. So if Jesus is the fulfillment of Jubilee, what does that look like for us today? That's what I'm really curious about.
That's the question, isn't it?
It is.
That's what we're going to talk about.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, it's about what Jubilee means for us personally, right here, right now. And in his sermon, Glenn Blakeney did a fantastic job of unpacking that.
I was really struck by how he connected those ancient practices to our modern lives. You know, it wasn't just an abstract history lesson. It felt incredibly relevant.
Exactly. So let's break it down.
Okay.
Remember how Jubilee meant freedom from slavery in the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah. That really stuck with me. The idea of those slaves finally getting their freedom, such a powerful image.
Well, Blakey pointed out that while physical slavery might not be as prevalent today, we all face different forms of bondage.
Oh, that's true.
You know, maybe it's an addiction that's got you trapped, or constant negative thoughts, or even just the feeling of being stuck in a rut.
That's so true.
You know, those things can feel just as confining as physical chains.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it makes you realize how much we all need that kind of liberation.
And that's where Christ comes in. He offers us freedom from those inner prisons, you know,
Yeah.
those things that hold us back from being who we were truly meant to be.
It's like he takes that old promise of Jubilee and makes it even more powerful, even more personal. It's not just about external circumstances, it's about what's going on inside of us.
Exactly. And he doesn't just set us free. He sets us free for something,
Oh, I like that.
for a life of purpose, for a relationship with him.
Yeah.
It's that abundant life Jesus talks about in the Gospels.
Oh, that's good. I love that distinction. It's not just about escaping something bad, it's about embracing something good, something life-giving.
And that brings us to the next element of Jubilee:
Okay.
debt cancellation.
Ooh, yes.
Think about how liberating it would be to have all your debts wiped clean.
Oh, tell me about it.
To have a fresh financial start.
I think most of us can relate to that feeling. Especially after the holidays.
Especially after the holidays, right?
Yeah.
Well, spiritually speaking, we all carry a debt we could never repay.
Oh, yeah. That's heavy.
The debt of our sin, our mistakes, our shortcomings.
That's a heavy burden to carry. It's easy to get bogged down by guilt and shame.
It is. But that's where the beauty of Christ's sacrifice comes in.
Hmm.
Through him, that debt is completely forgiven.
Wow.
It's like that clean slate you were talking about earlier. A chance to start over without that weight holding us back.
It's such a relief to know that even when we mess up, God's grace is bigger than our mistakes.
Absolutely. And just like with freedom from slavery, this forgiveness isn't a one-time deal.
Oh.
It's an ongoing reality for those who are in Christ. We can come to him again and again,
yeah,
knowing that his mercy is new every morning.
That's like a constant source of refreshment, a reminder that we're loved and accepted no matter what.
Yes.
You know, thinking about all this, it makes me wonder.
What's on your mind?
We've talked about freedom and forgiveness.
Mm.
But Jubilee also involved the return of ancestral lands.
Yeah.
What's the modern day equivalent of that? What does that look like for us?
That's a great question. Let me put it this way. It's about inheriting our true home.
Okay.
Our eternal inheritance as children of God. It's not about physical land anymore.
Yeah.
But about belonging to something bigger than ourselves.
So it's like we're being restored to our rightful place in God's family.
Exactly. And this inheritance isn't something we have to wait for until we die. We could start experiencing its reality now.
Oh, wow.
Through our relationship with Christ. It's about that deep sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Of purpose. Of knowing where we fit in.
That's such a beautiful image. It's like we get a glimpse of heaven here on earth, that sense of peace and wholeness that comes from being connected to God.
And that sense of peace ties into the next element of Jubilee.
Okay.
Rest for the land.
Oh, yeah.
In the Old Testament, it was about giving the land a break, mm-hmm. letting it recover and be fruitful again.
So how does that concept translate to our lives today? What does it mean to experience that kind of rest?
Well, think about how exhausted we can get.
Oh, yeah.
Physically, mentally, emotionally.
Totally.
We're constantly bombarded with demands, deadlines, anxieties.
I hear that.
It can feel like we never get a chance to truly breathe.
Oh, between work, family, just trying to keep up with everything. Sometimes I feel like I'm running on fumes.
Right. But in Christ, we're offered a different kind of rest.
Oh, okay.
A deep soul rest that comes from knowing we don't have to strive and earn God's favor.
Yeah.
We can simply rest in his love and his finished work on the cross.
It's like that feeling of finally coming home after a long journey.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
sense of relief and peace that washes over you.
Exactly. It's not about being lazy or unproductive. It's about finding our true source of strength and peace in God.
This is all so encouraging, especially as we head into a new year. It's like we're being reminded that no matter what challenges we face, we have this incredible source of hope and strength to draw from.
Absolutely. And remember that final element of Jubilee,
right.
The economic reset.
Right.
It's not just about material wealth, but about experiencing a kind of spiritual abundance.
And that's something I'm really curious about.
Mm.
What does that look like in practice? What does it mean to experience spiritual abundance?
Well, think about all the good things God pours into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
His love, his grace, his wisdom, his presence. Those things are more valuable than any material possession.
It's like having access to an endless supply of the things that truly matter, the things that feed our souls and give us purpose.
Exactly. And this abundance is available to everyone, regardless of their background, their status, or their past mistakes.
Oh.
It's a truly radical concept. A complete leveling of the playing field.
I love how Blakeney emphasized that point in his sermon. It's a reminder that God's grace is truly for everyone.
Yes.
There are no prerequisites, no hoops to jump through. It's freely given to all who come to him.
And that's the heart of Jubilee, isn't it? This incredible outpouring of God's love and mercy, transforming lives and bringing hope to a world that so desperately needs it.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. It's amazing how a concept from thousands of years ago can still speak so powerfully to our lives today.
It really is. But as we've seen, Jubilee isn't just an ancient tradition. It's an ongoing reality for those who are in Christ.
Yeah.
We experience freedom from those things that bind us, forgiveness for our mistakes, a sense of belonging and purpose,
yeah.
deep soul rest, and an abundance of spiritual blessings.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But it's also incredibly encouraging. It's like We're being given a roadmap for living a truly fulfilling life.
And that's what I love about this concept of Jubilee. It's not just a theological idea. Yeah. It's a practical guide for how we can walk in the fullness of all that Christ has made available to us.
You know, in his sermon, Blaisney posed some really thought-provoking questions
yes.
that I think would be helpful for our listeners to consider. He asks things like, what areas of your life feel broken or depleted right now? Mm-hmm. What would restoration look like in those specific areas? Mm. What past experiences or losses are you still carrying that need God's healing touch? What God-given dreams or gifts have you set aside that need to be revived?
Those are powerful questions, and I think they're a great way to start putting these principles of Jubilee into practice in our own lives.
Yeah.
It's not just about understanding the concept. It's about allowing it to transform us from the inside out.
I couldn't agree more. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'd encourage our listeners to really take some time to reflect on those questions.
Yeah.
Let them sink and journal about them. Talk to a trusted friend or mentor. Let's see how we can actively participate in this Jubilee year, embracing all that God has for us.
Welcome back to our Jubilee Deep Dive. It's been pretty amazing unpacking all this, hasn't it? From ancient traditions to what it means for us as followers of Jesus today.
It really highlights how God weaves these beautiful threads through history.
Yeah.
You know, and how relevant those ancient practices still are for us now.
Totally. But here's the thing I keep coming back to. Knowing about Jubilee is one thing, but actually experiencing it, living it out, that feels different. You're so right. It's like that saying, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. We can have all this head knowledge about Jubilee, but if it doesn't change how we live, how we see the world, then what's the point?
Exactly. So how do we bridge that gap? How do we move from theory to practice, especially when life feels messy and far from a year of rejoicing?
Well, Glenn Blakeney touched on this in his sermon. He said it starts with recognizing that Jubilee isn't passive. It's not something God just does to us. We have to participate, lean in, make choices that align with this freedom and restoration we're talking about.
So it's more like an invitation than a decree. God's offering this incredible gift, but it's up to us to open it, so to speak.
I love that analogy. And those reflection questions we mentioned earlier, those are like the wrapping paper hinting at what's inside. When we ask ourselves, where do I feel depleted? What needs healing? What dreams have I buried? That's when we start unwrapping the gift.
It's like we're giving God permission to work in those specific areas.
Right.
Right? We're acknowledging our need and then inviting him into the process.
Exactly. And it might not be comfortable. Facing those hurts, those areas where we've fallen short, that takes courage. But it's in that vulnerable space that real transformation can happen.
It makes me think of how the Israelites had to actually walk out of Egypt. Even though they were scared, freedom was promised, but they had to take those steps of faith.
That's a perfect parallel. And sometimes those steps are about getting practical. If we're struggling with an addiction, maybe it's reaching out for support, finding a community that understands. If a dream has died, maybe it's dusting it off, taking one tiny step towards it again.
It's about aligning our actions with this Jubilee mindset we're cultivating, right? Not just hoping for change, but actively participating in it.
And you know what's really struck me about all this? The emphasis on forgiveness, both receiving it from God and extending it to others.
That was a big part of Blaisney's message, wasn't it? He talked about how unforgiveness is like a prison we build for ourselves.
Exactly. It's like we're clinging to those hurts, those wrongs done to us, and it prevents us from experiencing the fullness of Jubilee, the freedom, the joy, the restoration. Those things can't fully take root if we're still shackled to the past.
It makes you think about how the Old Testament Jubilee was about creating a just society, too. It wasn't just individual. It was about community.
That's such a crucial point. It reminds us that our personal Jubilee is intertwined with the well-being of those around us. If we're truly embracing forgiveness, compassion, generosity, those things overflow into our families, our communities, even the world at large.
It's like that ripple effect, right?
Yeah.
Our personal transformation can spark change on a larger scale.
And Blakeney made a comment that really resonated with me. He said, Christ's proclamation of Jubilee transforms those temporary physical provisions into permanent spiritual realities.
Wow, that's profound. So it's not just about what we get, but about who we become in the process.
Exactly. And through Christ, every day can be a day of Jubilee. We don't have to wait for some special year or circumstance. The freedom, the forgiveness, the restoration, it's available to us right now.
This has been such an incredible deep dive. I feel like my whole perspective on this year, on life in general, has shifted.
Me too. And I think for our listeners out there, no matter what you're facing, no matter how tough things might seem, remember that you are living in a continual state of Jubilee.
Let that truth sink in. Let it be a source of hope, a reminder that even in the midst of difficulty, God is at work bringing beauty from ashes and offering us a life that is truly abundant.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. May you experience the fullness of Jubilee in your own life today and every day.
And until next time, keep diving deep.